الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم، وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تواضع لله رفعه الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama-i kiram, most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who we must continuously thank and express our gratitude and our gratefulness for affording us the different opportunities and the different occasions whereby we can become closer to Him, we can invest in our akhirah. And this Jum'ah where we are gathering in this masjid, this is one such occasion. It is only and only the fadl, the karam, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person achieves any good. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says in the Qur'an al-Kareem, whatever bounty you have, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ability to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be seated in the masjid, this indeed is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will only truly realize in the life hereafter. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to be alive in this month of Muharram. And the real purpose and objective why a mu'min and a Muslim desires to live longer in this world, it is not to acquire the wealth of this world. For after all, the wealth of this world, it will cease to exist. He will not be able to transfer it into the akhirah. When a person closes his eyes, at most they may be able to bury the wealth with him in the grave. But further than that, he would not be able to transfer that wealth into the akhirah. That is why on one of the talks, Hazrat Arif Billah Rumi Waqt, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuh, whom he mentioned, wherein he was independent, absolutely absolute independence they had. But he made an announcement that alhamdulillah the madrasa is being built, and those who want to, and look at the words he used, he said, those who want to transfer their currency into the currency of the akhirah are welcome to contribute to the madrasa. That person who wishes to transfer his currency to the akhirah, he wants to invest in his akhirah so he can come and contribute something to the madrasa. And then he beautifully mentioned, he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, it is actually the bounty of Allah, the mercy of Allah, that Allah ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to share in the rewards of making khidmat of deen. If Allah ta'ala wanted, Allah ta'ala, it is His deen, He could have given every khadim of deen, every alim, every principal of the madrasa, of the darurum, Allah ta'ala could have given him a mountain of gold and say, yeah, this is this mountain of gold, now you do my work of deen. After all, it is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala, out of His kindness, Allah ta'ala gave the businessman the opportunity, those who want to share, that you have an opportunity to participate and earn rewards in supporting the different works of deen. So look at the izzat, the azmat by which they collected. And that is why those of us who do contribute towards the masajid, towards the madaris, towards the different deeni works that are taking place, we should never ever feel that we are doing the madrasa, the masjid, a favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah ta'ala says, if you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you display arrogance and you display a proud attitude, Allah ta'ala can change and create a whole nation to replace one person. That is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, he mentioned, those who wish to transfer the currency of this world to the currency of the akhirah can come and contribute. So in the same way, in this world as it stands now, our vehicles and our homes and our bank balances, so that is the currency of this world. And if a person goes with rands to another country, if he goes to the United States of America or he goes to Saudi Arabia and he tries to buy something with the rands, they will ask him to go and exchange it. He's got to exchange his currency. They may not accept it. In the same way, this currency of this world will not be accepted in Akhirah unless we have transferred the currency of this world to the currency of the Akhirah. A person spent on his family, on his children, on his parents, he spent in dini causes. So now that wealth that actually went, that is his transferring of his wealth to the currency of the Akhirah. That is why that beautiful example, or that incident that took place of Bahlul, we have heard it many occasions, but it's coming to mind, where Harun al-Rashid was traveling in his garden, in his palace, the garden of his palace, and as he was walking, he had kept this Bahlul, who was a great wali of Allah, very pious individual, but he used to hide his piety through his simplicity and his humor. So because of his humorous, simple nature, Harun al-Rashid enjoyed his company and he kept him in his court. So as he was walking with all his ministers in the garden along the river banks, he saw Bahlul sitting at the river bank building sand castles, little mud castles. So he stopped and asked him in a humorous manner that, "Oh Bahlul, now what are you doing now?" So he says, "No, I'm making castles, I'm making houses." So he said, "What will you do with these houses?" He said, "No, I will sell it. I will sell it for one silver coin, one dirham." He said, "And that, what will a person get?" He said, "No, if you spend that one silver coin, one dirham, so then you will get a palace in Jannah." So Harun al-Rashid smiled and laughed and continued. After a little while, the wife of Harun al-Rashid, Zubaydah, so she was walking with her khadimas, her servants, and she saw the same scene, asked the same questions, but she took out that one dirham and she gave it to him. She says, "Here, this is one dirham, I want a palace in Jannah." And it is recorded in the kitab, that night Harun al-Rashid, he saw a dream, and in this dream, he sees that he's walking in a beautiful garden, the like of which he's never seen in his life. And as he walks in this garden, he sees a beautiful palace. And he is impressed by the beauty of this palace. He is attracted to the beauty. He is captivated by his beauty. And he decides he wants to enter and see what beautiful things are found within the palace. If the external features of the palace are so beautiful, you can imagine what will be the inside. And this is the condition of Jannah, that when the gold, when the bricks of the homes of Jannah will be made of pure gold, can we imagine what kind of furniture will be inside? Normally a person doesn't put those things which are very valuable outside. The bricks are made of cement and so on. The real expense is inside. The light fittings, the chandeliers, the bedding, the furniture, the cupboards, the fridge, freezer and so on. Those are very valuable items. It's secure within the home. Now when the bricks of the homes of Jannah will be made of pure gold, we can imagine what kind of beauty will be inside those homes of Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala take each and every one of us there directly, not indirectly. Some people, every mu'min will go to Jannah. Each and every Muslim has got the ticket of Jannah. Every person that has Iman, he will go to Jannah. But some people will go to Jannah directly, and some people will go to Jannah indirectly. And indirectly, they will go to Jannah via Jahannam. And the reason for this is that due to the excessive sinning, due to their sins, a person cannot enter Jannah with sins. So he will have to cleanse, he will have to purify himself. And the place for him to purify himself will be in Jahannam. And thereafter he will enter Jannah. Now a person say, "No, I'll go to Jannah, but we'll just go for a few days to Jahannam." What is those few days? We can't imagine. فَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the year after, it is like 1,000 years of this world. So if a person goes for 40 days in Jahannam, it will be looking at good couple thousand years. Can a person withstand the fire of this world? If a person puts his finger in a little flame of this world, he can't bear it. And imagine the fire of Jahannam is 17 times more intense than the fire of this world. So nevertheless, that is why one person mentioned, he asked the Maulana, he says, "Maulana, you know, I'm really addicted to smoking. This is something I can't give up. So when I go to Jannah, will I be given the opportunity to smoke?" So mashallah, the Maulana gave a beautiful answer. He says, yeah, you may be given the opportunity to smoke, but the only problem is you'll have to light the cigarette in Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take each and every one of us directly to Jannah. So nevertheless, he saw this beautiful palace. And as he approached the palace with the intention of entering, he saw there was a guard at the door, and the guard prevented him from entering. He says, why are you preventing from entering my palace? He says, no, it is not your palace. The owner of the palace, the name is inscribed above on the wall. And he looked up and he saw beautifully inscripted calligraphy, the name of his wife Zubaydah. His eyes opened and he realized what had happened. So immediately he then went and he found Bahlul where he was. He says, Bahlul, I've come to purchase that house for a palace in Jannah. Bahlul says, no problem, but the only thing is that the price has changed. The price has changed. He says, okay, what's the price now? He says, now the price of that house would be the entire world and what it contains. So he says, why is there a difference in the price? So he was a wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala inspired him, gave him kashf. So he said that, see, yesterday when you came, you didn't know what you were getting. It was ghaib, it was something unseen. Last night you saw the palace that you were getting. Now the value has changed. That is why our iman is so precious. That is why iman is so precious in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala says in the first Quran, in the first para of the Quran al-Kareem, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This Quran is hidayah for the muttaqeen. And who are the muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. We haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't seen Jannah. We haven't seen Jahannam. But we know that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as-sadiq al-ameen. There could be no one more honest than him. And each and every one of us must consider ourselves, in the words of Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Yunus sahab rahmatullah alayhi, so always say that we all consider ourselves blind, and the only one who had sight was that of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what must a blind person do? He must put his hand in the hand of a person who had sight. So our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that there is a Jannah, there is a Jahannam, there is an Allah, there is an akhirah, there is hisab, kitab, where we have to stand and account for our actions. So that is why this iman is so precious. And that is why, on the contrary, when a person is leaving this world, and when the angel of death appears before this person, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِبْ. Allah Ta'ala will continuously accept the tawbah, the repentance of his servant, as long as he's not reached the throes of death. Once a person reaches the throes of death, and once he sees the malaika of death approaching him, now the doors of repentance, the doors of tawbah are closed. Why? Because now he can see, it is a reality, it is no more unseen. The value of that iman now has changed. So that is why, Mubarak to all of us, we have iman, we are believing something which is unseen. And this is extremely valuable in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, coming back to what I wanted to discuss, and that is known as Ummul Amrad. It is the mother of all sicknesses. And it has gripped society, it has gripped so many homes. We are finding it in our institutes, we are finding it in our societies, we are finding it in family gatherings. And wherever you find a conflict situation, if you really look deep into it, you'll find that this sometimes is one of the main reasons and the main causes. Sometimes we looking around and we're wondering, why is this happening, why is that happening? As I mentioned to somebody, that the fireman is trying to extinguish the fire by hosing the smoke, not realizing that the fire is elsewhere. So we are seeing many, many problems in our society. But many a times the cause and the root cause of the problem is something else. And this is the disease and the sickness of pride. Now this pride is really a killer disease, and it is destroying our society. If we look at the maqula and the saying of Hazrat Ma'ashibi Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions that every Muslim and every believer, every day he should address himself. He should address himself and say to himself, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but indirectly addressing himself also, lowering himself, creating a condition and a kayfiyat, keeping that balance. He says, Ya Allah, O Allah, from your entire ummah, from this entire ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all the Muslimin and the mu'mineen, مَا سَبْسَ كَمْتَرْهُ فِي الْحَالِ. That, Ya Allah, I am the worst. At this present moment, I am the worst person. I am the worst person. Or janwar or kutte or suwar sebi kamtarhu fil ma'al. that, Ya Allah, in terms of the end result, then I could be even worse than the disbelievers, and no, even in fact worse than the dogs and the pigs. And why is this? Iman is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala can give this iman to whomsoever he wishes. And in the same manner, Allah ta'ala can snatch this iman from whomsoever he wishes. That is why one dua that a person makes, we are taught a masnoon dua, Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al iman. Oh Allah, keep us steadfast on this iman, let us die on iman, and on the day of qiyamah, raise us up with iman. Another dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Oh Allah, do not cause my heart to be turned away after you have given hidayah. So this iman is a valuable bounty which can be snatched away. In one hadith it is mentioned that a person will do good deeds. He will continuously do good deeds to such an extent, حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٍ, that between him and the gardens of Jannah is merely one hand span. But then he will do one action which will warrant him entry into the fire of Jahannam. And therefore, he will enter the fire of Jahannam. And on the other hand, a person will continuously do evil. He will spend his life in evil. Until between him and the fire of Jahannam will be a mere one hand span. But then, he will do some good deed, because of which he will enter the gardens of Jannah. That is why you will never find any wali of Allah, any arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ever suffering from this disease of pride. They will never be proud. They will say, Ya Allah, what do I have to be proud of? I do not know whether I will leave this world with iman or not. People are showering me with praises. But if I do not pass away with iman, what then is the use of these praises? So therefore, we can never ever look down upon a person. So he says that if a person passes away without iman, may Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala protect our children, our family members, and the entire ummah from this great, great punishment that the iman is snatched away from a person. So if a person passes away in this condition, and then he will go into the fire of Jahannam. But if you look at the dogs and the animals, no matter how filthy they may be, but when they die, they turn to dust, and that is the end. But a kafir, a disbeliever, that person who has rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he passes away, so he will turn into dust, but then Allah ta'ala would recreate him. And this is not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many signs for us to realize. Things which are totally dead, Allah ta'ala can put life into it. That Allah who created us from nothing, is it then difficult for Him to create us from something? When we have turned to bones, when Allah ta'ala created us from absolutely nothing, then when a person has turned to bones, what is it then difficult for Allah ta'ala to recreate us? So Allah Ta'ala will recreate this person, and then he will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have to account for his sins. And then when he enters the fire of Jahannam, if he didn't have iman, khalidina fiha abada, he will dwell within the fire of Jahannam forever. Now a person may say, but Maulana, you know, some of the disbelievers, you know, they've got very good qualities, they behave, they're very generous people. That is in its place. But that person who rebelled against the government, so then he will be obviously thrown into the prison. And you will never find, and these are the words of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi, no country can ever be complete without a prison. There has to be a prison to have justice. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, He is fair. That those people who believed in Him, accepted His oneness, obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstained from those things which were haram, so then these people will be rewarded. And that person who didn't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignored the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will then have to be punished for these actions. So a wali of Allah ta'ala never suffers from pride. So he says every day a person should address himself and say that, Ya Allah, at the moment I am the worst person. In the words of Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi, he says, Mujsa khalq mein koi nahi go bad kirdar o naam asiya, tu bhi magar ghaffar hai rab, bakhsh de mere sare guna. Ya Allah, from your makhluk, I am the worst person. There is no sin which I have not committed. But Ya Allah, on the other hand, you are ghaffar, You are absolutely merciful. These were the sifat and the qualities of the Ahlullah. And then if we look and we study the lives of the Sahaba in Kiram, and we study the lives of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, just today we came across the ayah with the students, where Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was in prison, so then at that time we know the incident that those two youngsters who had seen the dreams and they asked for the interpretation of that dream. But then he mentioned to them that this knowledge of interpreting dreams, this is not my achievement. But rather he said, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. I have achieved this bounty by virtue of my Rabb. Ma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this ability. Ma Allah is the one who has given me this capability. I have abandoned the ways of those people who have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have abandoned the ways of the disbelievers. And I followed the ways of my forefathers Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub. And by virtue of this, Allah has given me this kind of a knowledge. That is why that person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stays away from sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him certain bounties which a person can never buy in the marketplace. There are certain bounties which we cannot buy in marketplace. For example, the bounty which everybody seems to be searching for, and that is contentment of heart. People are searching everywhere for contentment of heart. People sometimes think we're going to have contentment in buying cars. So they buy one car, after a while they're not finding contentment, the next car, holidays. A person goes for one holiday, then another holiday, then the next holiday, but he's still not finding contentment within his heart. The reason for this is Allah has clearly mentioned, Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Listen very carefully, Allah. Allah is drawing our attention. It is only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hearts find satisfaction. And of course, we have heard this many times from our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, that the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not merely confined to the tasbih. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, these are important. But the zikrullah has a far more wider meaning. That at any given moment and time, which command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused on me? If a person goes out to the marketplace, and again an example of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, the person goes to the marketplace, he's got wife, children, rent, lights, water to pay. So he goes and he sells his potatoes and his tomatoes, and the entire day he says potatoes, tomatoes, the whole day. And you have another person who has family, wife, children, he's got a lot of responsibilities, but he decides that he will retire in the masjid, and he will sit with the tasbih, and he will recite Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. Which person will be earning more reward in the eye of Allah? Which person will be more pleasing in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is natural that that person who is fulfilling his obligation, he will get more reward in saying potatoes and tomatoes than that person who is sitting in the masjid, not fulfilling his rights and his responsibilities, ignoring the rights and the responsibilities. He will get more reward than him. A person's parents are ill, he goes to the pharmacy, he takes them to the doctor. This is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person obeys the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find a satisfaction within the heart. And this is such a valuable thing that Allah ta'ala has secretly hidden it within the heart of a person. We know if we have something valuable, if a person has got a valuable gem, gold, diamond, he doesn't leave it outside lying where people can just pick it up. No, he keeps it within the house. Sometimes he'll find a secret place and then he'll install a safe and then he'll put it inside that safe. Hidden, people mustn't get it. It's very priceless. It is very precious. Just like this, the sukoon e dil, this tranquility of heart, this is something which is hidden within the hearts of the Ahlullah. That is why the Ahlullah, you will find that they have absolutely no khawf. Little fear they have, but their hearts are sukoon. Their hearts become gham-proof. In the words of Arif Billah, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, the Swiss, people of Switzerland, they made watches, waterproof, so that watch could be submerged in water, completely surrounded with water, but the water didn't enter that heart, that watch. In the same way, the Ahlullah, Allah Ta'ala gives them hearts which are ghamproof, that they will have problems, they will have sickness, they will have illness. And we saw it in the life of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, such pain sometimes he would be having, but yet there would be, when you would sit in his company, you could feel the sukoon. People who sat in his company, they didn't want to leave. And then again, looking at his life, look at the humility. Famous incident which we have mentioned many times, a person wrote a very nasty letter to him, saying that he is You know, his followers are like this, and the masjid like this, and people are following him like sheep, and so on. But look at the response that he gave. If it was one of us, we would have really responded in a forceful manner. We would have given vent to our anger. But look at the response that he gave, something to the effect. He mentioned that, "Brother, I thank you for bringing forward my weaknesses. And I assure you, I have many more weaknesses that you are not aware of. And I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that he didn't expose all my weaknesses." SubhanAllah. You see, they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. And we do a little good deeds, we make a little khidmat of deen, we give one or two bayans, and we really feel now we've achieved something. And they did so much, and they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. And this is a salient feature in the Sahaba Ikram. Look at Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What level of fana'iyat, that incident that crosses the mind. The people of Makkatul Mugarrama, they, so to say, expelled him from Makkah Sharif. He had to leave his hometown. When he left Makkah Sharif, he left with tears in his eyes. He said, "Had my people not chased me out, I would never have left you, O Makkah." And now, many years pass. They continue torturing him, troubling him, victimizing him, killing his companions. Now, what kind of anger will build up in the heart of a normal human being? And now when Allah Ta'ala turns the table, and now when he marches into Makkatul Mukarrama as a conqueror, as victorious, now he has got authority, he has got power. Look at this description, read the books of Seerah. How does Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter Makkatul Mukarrama? It is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered in such a manner that tears were flowing down his eyes. His beard was touching the saddle of the camel. His head was absolutely lowered. When one sahabi, naturally sahaba ikram were, this was the opportunity to show their power. One sahabi mentioned that, "Al-yawm yawmul malhama." Today is the day of revenge. After all, they were tortured by the people of Makkah Sharif. When this was brought to the attention of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his tarbiyah, reprimanded him, corrected him. And then he says, "Al-yawm yawmul marhama." Today is the day, not a day of revenge, but rather today is the day of mercy. This was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his humility. If we have humility in our lives, we have this fana'iyat, Allah Ta'ala will honor us, Allah Ta'ala will elevate us, and we will have a solution to many, many conflict situations. If the husband has humility in his heart, he says, "No, never mind, it is my mistake, I'm sorry." Or if the wife has humility, and she says, "Look, I'm sorry, and definitely I shouldn't have responded in this way, please forgive me, make me maaf." If the student has humility, he will say, "Maulana, or Appa, or Muallim, I am sorry, please forgive me." If the child has humility, the child will say, "Look, I am sorry, Daddy, I shouldn't have done this, Abba, I shouldn't have done this." And in the same manner, the father may have been harsh, and I will end on this incident. As Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, once he had a worker, and he was a bit harsh with him, he was a bit hard with him. He had to reprimand him, he had made a mistake. But this worker returned home after the day's work. But that night it really perturbed Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He couldn't sleep that night. So he decided he would go to this person's house, this worker's house, and ask for forgiveness. And in this fikr, he actually forgot the way how to get to this house of the worker. And as a result, by the time he reached the worker's house, it was quite late at night. He knocked at the door. The worker was shocked to see that Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib is at the door. He says, "Look, I've come, please forgive me, for I know I was a bit harsh, I shouldn't have been so hard to you, please make me maaf." He says, "Hazrat, you are like a father to me, I'm like a son to you, how can I even, I have to accept?" He says, "No, definitely, I will not leave you until you do not forgive me." He says, "Well, if it's your command, then I forgive you, but there's nothing really." He says, "No, you have to forgive me." And this is how he left. And that same night, it is mentioned that he saw in a dream that he was in a boat. And nearby he saw a boat in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was steering this boat. And then in the dream, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Ali, let my boat meet the boat of Shah Abdul Ghani sahib." And he says, in the dream, he hears the knocking of the two boats. And he finds himself so close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this level of fana'iyat, inhalation, and true humility. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.